Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse number 19. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse number 19. What I've attempted to do over the past few months, again, is preach a series of lessons on becoming an e-church. This series has three legs. The first leg was on becoming an equipping church, where we talked about spiritual gifts. The second leg, which we're going to conclude today, is on becoming an evangelistic church. And next week we'll begin the third leg on becoming an energized church. Today we conclude a series of lessons, the fourth lesson on evangelism. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting at verse number 19. Paul, writing to this church, writes this: "Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone," and get this, "to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." Who's welcome here? This is a pertinent question that has to be asked from time to time. I think all of us would be quick to answer that everyone is welcome here. We don't discriminate. It is our desire that anyone who wants to be part of this family can be a part of this family. And what may be an understood truth about this family and this particular body of Christ hasn't always been the case in all churches across this country and world. As such, what we have witnessed has been appalling. In the early 1950s, in a town in New York State, a local church, predominantly white, began to notice an influx of African American worshipers who were moving into the area from the South. One of the elders of the established church encouraged one of the African American families to start their, quote, own congregation, so that they could attract more of, quote, their own. The African American family agreed with that suggestion. And it should be noted that the efforts of this African American family led to the establishment of a church in that town, which is now the largest church in that town. While the church that suggested they go their own way has been on a steady decline ever since. In a town not too far from that town in New York, another congregation, predominantly African American, consistently on a regular basis shares this belief that white Christians can't be trusted. As such, it has not been a place where white Christians feel particularly welcome. This church, which boasts of its superior status and standing among churches of Christ in this country, has seen no growth and a steady decline over the past 20 years. Now, it's been said over and over again that the most segregated hours of the week takes place between 10 a.m. and noon on Sundays, because during those 2 hours, white people worship with white people and black people worship with black people. And we stand in a state of a segregated state during the worship hours. And with stories and instances like those I just highlighted above, this fact is destined to continue through our lifetime. But church, I have faith and I have hope that we can do something about it. Who's welcome here? It's a loaded question and brings to our attention who it is that we target in our evangelism. A measure of our evangelism targets, personal and communal, will certainly be reflected in our makeup and our answer to the question, who is welcome here? And this is where the ministry of the Apostle Paul comes into play. And in writing to a church, the Corinthian church, a messed up church, a church that had some issues. It was a church that was located in an area that was known for its sin. It was known for its culture that was not resonant with the Christian culture. It was a church that was made up of Jews and non-Jews. It was a church that poor people and rich people were a part of. It was a church that had slaves and business owners and rich people. It was a church that had Christians who were formerly idolaters, homosexuals, murderers, thieves, con men, and slanderers. Turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting at verse number 9, it says, "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And listen to this. "And that is what some of you were." The people at this church had some diverse backgrounds. They had some diverse sinful backgrounds. It's safe to say that this church was a mosaic of all people from all walks of life and all backgrounds. Paul was writing to this church, as he had done on several occasions. He was given an explanation of his ministry. Paul says in the text that we read this morning, "He has made himself a slave to everyone to do this, to win as many as possible." That Paul laid himself out for the world, that Paul allowed himself to be a slave, to be a servant, a passionate servant to everyone he came into contact with, so that they may be won for Jesus Christ. Not the most Jews, not the most Greeks, not the most business owners or rich, not the most poor people and slaves, not the most good people, but as many as possible. And while Paul certainly did a lot of his ministry amongst non-Jews or Gentiles, Paul didn't discriminate. To Paul, everyone was a target. To Paul, color, creed, culture, or class wasn't a deterrent. That's why it's important to minister to the poor in the slums, as well as the ties and suits on Wall Street. That's why it's important to minister to the unchurched, the Hindu and the Muslim. That's why it's important to minister to the old and the young. That's why it's important to minister to the male and the female. That's why it's important to minister to the white, black, brown, yellow, green, magenta, because it is our goal to win as many as possible. How did you do it, Paul? How did you make yourself or become a slave to everyone in this effort to win as many as possible? Paul says, "I engaged in their world." Specifically, Paul says in the text we read, "To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some." So in an effort to win some, I mean, he admits, "I'm not going to save all, I'm not going to win all, but in an effort to save some, I will, for instance, enter and engage the world of a Jew." much like the courageous missionaries all over this world that do mission work in the Middle East. Those who go over in the Middle East and they engage the culture. A lot of the women will dress like the women in the Middle East to gain respect, to engage their world. They're not throwing off their Christian faith. They're not compromising their Christian faith. They're engaging culture in order to gain trust, in order to gain respect, in an effort to win souls. And it's a blessing that we have so many, again, courageous and brave Christians all over this world willing to do that, willing to put themselves in harm's way, engaging culture. And it's a blessing. And I'm happy to report that all over the world, Middle East and other places, people are being won in the name of Jesus Christ because they engaged culture. Once the respect is gained, the doors are open to share the grace of Jesus. And Paul did this as a way to find connection and a platform from which to share the grace of God through Jesus Christ. In no way did Paul compromise his relationship with Jesus Christ. In no way did Paul embrace sin. And he did not cling to his own cultural identity or societal standing by not doing so. Didn't embrace sin, but he embraced the sinner, the one in need of God's grace. Paul was willing to become all things to all men so that by all possible means, some might be saved. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what are you personally willing to embrace so that you might win some? How many of us older Christians have engaged the world of the young person in an effort to win the young? Some of us, that's a scary thing. I know because I work with the teens. And I know embracing their world and engaging in their world sometimes can get a little physical. Sometimes it causes you to listen to music that you might not want to listen to. Sometimes it causes you to get on your computer and do things on the computer. How many of you I've talked about before? How many of you guys are on Facebook? Raise your hand if you're on Facebook. Facebook is the wave of the future. It's a connecting point for so many people. All the teens are on Facebook and we send messages back and forth and they keep sending me all these goofy applications and, you know, play this game and do this thing or whatever. But it's a point of connection, church. If you want to get engaged with young people, you've got to embrace their world. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe that means Gene, you know, he gets a baseball cap and he puts it on sideways and he goes up to the youth and says, "What's up, dog?" That would be hilarious. But it's an effort to engage in their world. It's an effort to say, I'm willing to become young so that I might win some. What are we willing to become as a community? Are we willing to be more traditional? Are we willing to be more progressive? Are we willing to embrace a changing culture without compromising our core beliefs? Are we comfortable with being multi-ethnic, multicultural, multi-generational, multi-socioeconomic? Who is welcome here? All men and women are welcome here. All of God's human creation is welcome here. And we must do our part by not targeting or excluding any specific group, but targeting all. So that by becoming all things to all men by any means, we might win some by the grace of God. Church, it's all about grace, isn't it? It's all about the grace of God through Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. And it starts with us embodying the gospel of Jesus Christ personally, and then living out this gospel in rhythm with Jesus Christ. Jesus, who wasn't concerned with race or gender or economics or religious background. He was concerned with the lost. So whether you're George the Millionaire, or Rosie on welfare, or Herman who's been married 5 times, or Lori the convicted felon, or Tamika the pregnant teenager, or Fred the homosexual, or Teresa the gang member, or Francis the housewife, or Bruce the janitor, or Joe the plumber. I had to go there, church. Let us be Jesus to them today. I want you to be blessed by the singing of this song by the praise team to the least of these.
Give us a heart for the hopeless, the weary and wounded, for all who are hungry, helpless and poor. Let us see the sorrow, the pain and the heartache that all the abandoned endure. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today. May we reach out to the broken, the beaten, the battered, to all who have fallen, disgraced and ashamed. May we be a comfort, loving, forgiving, and offering grace in your name. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today. To the last, to the lost, to the least of these, let us be Jesus today.
That's what it comes down to. Are we willing to be Jesus to the last, to the lost, to the least of these? Are we willing to be Jesus to them today, no matter their color? Hopelessness and a feeling of abandonment, church, it doesn't have a color. You don't have to be black to feel hopeless. You don't have to be white to feel hopeless. Hopelessness and abandonment doesn't have a socioeconomic status. There are millionaires that feel hopeless and abandoned. And they may be able to buy some toys, but ask them. Doesn't erase feelings of hopelessness, doesn't erase abandonment. Just because someone looks good in a suit and tie. Got on the Rolex, got the rings, and got the bling bling and the jewelry and all that. That mean that they don't feel abandoned. Will you be Jesus to that person today? Equally, will you be Jesus to the poor? Will you be Jesus to the Muslim? Will you be Jesus to the homosexual? Will you be Jesus to the murderer? Will you be Jesus to the sex offender? We get notices all in the mail about people moving into our areas and they're sex offenders. And I often begin to think, okay, yeah, I need to mark that house and make sure my kids don't go to that house for Halloween. I need to pains me that I don't ask, how can I be Jesus to him? Now, come on. Come on, church. That doesn't mean, Paul says, I became like a Jew to win a Jew. So I become a sex offender to win the sex offender. Come on. We're smarter than that, right? We're smarter than that, right? It doesn't neglect. Somehow we need to find a way to engage the sex offender. Find a way to engage the homosexual. Find a way to engage those that we would deem the unreachable or the unchangeable. And in doing that, we might only save some. But the effort is there, the mind is there, the heart is there to try to win as many as possible. I challenge you, church, to look at your circles of influence. I challenge you to look at who you're reaching, to look at who you're targeting, and to question yourself. Am I excluding a group of people because I'm uncomfortable? Am I excluding a group of people because they frighten me? Am I excluding some people because I've deemed them unreachable? I want you to consider that. Search your heart, and I want you to ask God to tear those barriers down, to tear those walls down, to take away the fear. And ask God to lead you by the powerful Holy Spirit to engage. And let the Holy Spirit do the work. That's all I'm asking you to do today. Just be Jesus to the lost, to the last, to the least of these. Let's pray. Again, God, we thank you for the example of your Apostle Paul, who later on goes on to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Apparently what Paul was doing was nothing more than embodying the ministry, the method of Jesus Christ. And Father, in modeling or following the model of Paul, we're in essence following the model of Jesus Christ. Father, bless us to have a better understanding of the method of Christ. Bless us with an understanding that Jesus didn't discriminate, that Jesus sought out whomever he could, male, female, Gentile, Jew. May we have that like spirit. And when we say things like, everyone is welcome here, may that be a genuine remark. May that remark not have loopholes. But when we say all is welcome here, we pray that it is a truth that would be exemplified in our lifestyle. Father, I praise you right now for the diversity that we are able to enjoy right here at this very hour. And I pray that this would be a reminder to us that we don't all have to look alike, come from the same background, but that we all hold unified to the common profession, that is, that you are God, that Jesus Christ is your Son, that he died for us, and that we have the Holy Spirit. If we would hold fast to that profession, that confession, and not seek to be united by culture or or color or stance on particular issues, that by doing so, we will engage a diverse people, that we will engage the diverse situations and atmospheres of so many people, that we'd all do it to win as many as possible. All in the name of Jesus Christ. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, that's my challenge to you, us, to be Jesus, as we stand and sing this song. If you have any needs that you want to share with the church, if you are not a Christian and you want to explore that, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ, we invite you to come as we sing this song.